You're listening to the Power Word Gold podcast, bringing you the latest tips, tricks, and strategies for making gold in World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Flux. And now, on with the show. Hello, everybody. This is Flux, and you're listening to Episode 3 of the Power Word Gold podcast. It is April 3rd, 2011, and today we have our first guest ever on the Power Gold podcast, Jokine from Finland. Jokine, or Jokin, as he says it's better for us Americans to pronounce his name. He hit me up on Skype one night, and we had a long chat, and I was pretty impressed by some of the ideas he had come up with about how to make gold on his particular server, and we're going to be talking about that tonight. It's probably also worth mentioning that this is going to be a much longer podcast than any of the previous ones. Me and Jokine both agreed that we like longer podcasts, so this podcast clocks in right around 2 hours, so grab some popcorn and strap in. Today we have a special treat for you. We have a guest from all the way across the world, at least from me. Today we have Jokin.
Yeah,
from Finland. And Jokin, you want to tell them a little bit about just about how they can get a hold of you?
You can follow me on Twitter. I just made it recently, but haven't used it much yet. But you can follow me on Twitter with name Jokin. But I think Flux will write it down.
how do you spell it?
J-O-K-I-N-E-E.
Okay, so at J-O-K-I-N-E-E if you want to follow Jokin here on Twitter. So, all right, with that, let's just go ahead and hop in. This is you're our first guest on the Power Word Gold podcast, and we're really excited to have you. You contacted me last week and just wanted to do a chit-chat, and that chit-chat ended up going about 3 hours long, so I felt that there was definitely something there. So I'm going to hop right in here with this. We're going to have an interview with you on this podcast. I've actually made some show notes. So people that have been offering me the suggestion to make show notes for the podcast, you got your wish. I don't know if I'll say any less ums and ahs, but at least I have some show notes. So what we're going to be doing in the podcast is going, into an introduction with Jokin, and then, we're going to be talking a little bit about some of his gold-making techniques. He has some really interesting ideas about a lot of different topics that really opened my eyes to the possibilities for especially a lot of cross-faction gold-making. And then after that, we're going to be jumping into epic gems. It's a hot topic in the gold-making community right now, and we're going to talk a little bit about what we think is going to happen with that. And we're just going to kind of go from there, so I'll go ahead and start the interview with you now. Jokin, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are, where you're from, and how you got into gold making?
Well, I'm 17 years old, guy from Finland. I played World of Warcraft around 3 years, or is it 4? I don't know, really. I used to play a lot of PvP. I used to play it on decent rating, somewhere around 2.5k, but now after everyone started to quit in Cataclysm, I kind of quit it myself, and now I've been making gold for like month and a half, maybe 2 months. I'm not sure about that, but I think that's it for now. Or well,
no.
Is there anything else?
No, that's good. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you make most of your gold? Because I was pretty impressed with the way that you're actually able to make so much gold.
Yeah. So since I haven't used gemcrafting crafting or enchanting at all, because I don't have them as my own profession, and my friend's subscription ran out, and I'm not able to use those two professions, I'd be making my daily income by cross-faction trading and resetting the low-level markets. I'd be simply, our server is like, there's 10 hordes per one alliance. I play on a horde side. I buy cheap, low-level cloths, ores, bars, gems, everything like that. I buy them cheap on alliance side because nobody seems to care about them. I think the supply on alliance side is so much bigger than the demand. Nobody really buys anything. I tried to sell many things for like weeks and didn't get any sold or like that. I'm just buying cheap cloth and ores and bars for about less than 1 gold each, mostly 50 silver each, and I'm selling them up to 6 gold each on a horde side. That's how I make most of my daily income at the moment, and something little like making nethery bags and things like that, titanium weapon chains, and I think that's my way to make gold at the moment to keep my daily income coming.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about the makeup of your server and why this might be working so well for you?
I think like I just told you that.
Now you're on a pretty famous server, right?
Yeah. I'm playing on the same server that Paragon is, and Paragon is the number one PvE guild at the moment.
Okay.
And I'm kind of impressed that these guys who has gold a lot, you know, there's, I think, one or two guys in Paragon who have a lot of gold, I think two or three coal caps, at least they used to have. They aren't stepping on my markets. I still haven't seen them, because if they would step on my markets, it would be like, I couldn't stand a chance, because they got a lot more gold than I do.
You're
170,000.
How much? 170?
170,000, okay. And a lot of stockpile.
So you're flying under the radar, basically, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, but I don't think they're making gold at the moment, because because I wouldn't be so successful with my low-level markets, because I'm almost the only one, and I think the rest of the people who are throwing their low-level match for like 1.5 gold each, undercutting me to the point I don't want to buy them or either want to post my own. I think they're just low-levels or leveling their alts and just trying to get some extra gold.
And that's the people on the horde side that you're talking about?
Yeah. There's some point where I don't want to post my own, and that's less than 2 gold and more than 1 gold. Somewhere around that, I don't want to buy them out unless there's like 1 stack or 2 stacks.
Now, you sent me a screenshot before the show, and it was pretty impressive the amount of stock that you moved. Can you tell us a little bit about how much stock you actually move on any given day or, say, a given week?
Well, we do a regular trade once a week with my business partner, which I actually, this is kind of odd. I found him on Alliance Trade Chat. I was spamming, not really spamming, but advertising my, or barking, let's say it like that, barking my my macro, and I said that I want to find someone to do weekly trades with, and you know, we help each other and lend money on both sides, and you know, he pays me back on Elias' side and I lend him on a horde side.
So you're basically able to skip the whole cross-faction auction house by doing loans to each other back and forth.
Yes, that's why, because you lose every time you want to move gold between the neutral action house, you lose 15% of it, if I'm sure, or 10.
That's huge. 15%.
Yeah,
that's huge. That's a really good idea. I like that.
The way we do it, we do once a week, that's Saturday or Sunday, we do our trade. We both stacked some gold, some
something like we want to buy and sell on the other side. I think he buys at the moment, he buys Elementium or 40 gold per stack and sells it for 70 gold per stack on Alliance side. But I don't want to step to the Alliance markets because I don't want to compete with him, and my strongest point is that I don't want to just waste my time trying to sell things on Alliance side, because Alliance side's demand is dead. There's only two or three guilds who actually raid in a decent level, or even semi-decent level, and I think they work like together and give mats to their own guild and keep everything in their guild. Like, they don't buy much from outside of their guild, and that's my theory, because why that demand is so low.
But you're not just trading low level mats from Alliance to Horde. You did actually try to get in there into the Alliance market and make money that way, but you just found that it wasn't really worth it. Is that right?
Yeah. I've made 80 spirit flasks, and I tried to sell them a Horde. Got like 10 sold, and then the market crashed and dropped like half of the price it used to be. And then I realized, yeah, I could send these flasks on Alliance side. They still go for 130 gold each. I tried to sell them past this week and sold like 3 stacks of 2. And that's pathetic. And I've been almost always the first one.
So why do you think people aren't buying flasks? Right? Why do you think people aren't buying those flasks right now?
Because I think my theory that the semi-decent guilds who raid keep the mats on their guild and sell to each other and not use the auction house.
Yeah. I know there's like cauldrons I think you can make that give out flasks too, yeah, that are just for a certain duration.
Yeah, but they cost flasks to make, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing why I get so many rune claws, I think I had 85 stacks in last week, and every single stack cost around 3 to 10 gold each stack, I mean. And I think that's pretty sick. Yeah. I've got 80, so as I told you, I got 85 stacks of rune claws last week for around 3 to 10 gold per stack, and now I'm posting them around, well, it depends the day and when I want to buy people out and when I don't, and when the price is high enough or low enough to buy people out. I post my own for around 2.5 to even 6 gold. And things like bars, I think cobalt bars and fell iron bars are one of the most selling things. They sell like more than 100 gold per stack. I think 150 gold is around the true price they sell for. And I think there's not much supply for those two bars, but once I'm able to snatch them for low price on Alliance side, I'm able to make like 2,000 times profit or something like, not 2,000 times, but 2,000% profit, something around that, like that. And the thing I think why I get so many low-level mats for that low price is because, as I told you before, nothing is really selling an Alliance size. There's supply, but there's minimal demand. There's still bigger supply than the demand.
Do you think that the fact that there's a huge worldwide raiding guild on the Horde side on that server really kills the reason for anybody to be on the Alliance on that side, or on that server?
Yeah, I think because there's so many fanboys, they want to be on a Horde side because there's the biggest, and not biggest, but the best raiding guild in the whole world at the moment. I think people want to be there rather than Alliance side, but I was thinking to faction change on Alliance side at one point when few of my WoW friends faction changed there to play PvP because there's almost instant queues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Nothing.
I was just going to say, I had that experience, just to diverge just a little bit about PvP, and in our call we had done a little earlier in the week, we had talked about how you can tell if there's an imbalance, and I think I think this isn't, since they got Battlegrounds where it's actually multiple battle groups a lot now, I still think that the Horde side is more people on the Horde side. When I faction changed to the Horde, I was like, oh, I'm going to actually win, because in my mind, like, the Horde would win more in PvP. But the queues were like 15 minutes for one, whereas when I was back in my Alliance, it was an instant queue for PvP. So I had to toss up, either I could lose more and have instant queues, or I could wait 15 minutes and then probably win. But for me, it was worth it to stay on the Alliance side and get instant queues, because then I wasn't waiting around for 15 minutes.
Yeah. But that was still in a point where I had already 3 alts geared full bloodthirsty, and everyone almost quit it, and they were also kind of inactive and just doing points and sitting raiding. I don't really care about the raiding mostly. I just want to play. I just want to play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if I get Gladiator if I don't play.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, how do you find actual what the deals are what items are going to actually make money doing this cross-faction? Because you're doing something that I know other people in the gold-making community have talked about doing. I've done a few posts about it, but it's never been quite to the scale that you do, and so I thought I might ask you how you go about finding what you want to sell. You know, how did you find out that low-level mats were going to be what were going to be able to make you money? And
well, first I want to say, as I told you Friday when we had this discussion, it's always about the server. It's always about the server. You need to do your own research, but I can give you way to start looking from. You know, I cannot tell you what to buy and what to trade and what you should sell on Alliance or Horde. I can't tell you that, because it's always about the server and about the prices. Anything can be profit. Anything can be profit if the prices allow you to. So nothing is really limited in these markets, in any markets. It's always about the prices. And if some price is different, you can get a new way to get huge amounts of gold.
Well, if I'm looking at the auction house, though, and I'm scanning it or whatever, how do I know, or how did you pick out certain things? Was there certain add-ons that you used to help you with that, or was it just... Did you go through every page of the whole auction house? I just wanted to know how you did that.
Ah,
you ended up coming to that conclusion.
I still use Auctioneer, but that's only for the scanning. You know, I see the price percentage, which shows how, you know, mm-hmm. when I scan and if something pops for a lower amount it used to be, I can see the price being lower. But that's mostly for, you know, when I'm trying to snatch up epics and trying to do a profit. But you know, I'm very careful with that, because I'm not kind of investor who just buys something very expensive and tries to flip it. I've done few things like that. Like I tried to buy 2 boots, Valor boots, for 4K. I'm trying to sell them for 9K. I have been first and only poster for those auctions, but I bought them yesterday and still haven't sold, but let's see what happens. Anyways, mm-hmm. If I don't sell them for 9K, I think I will probably at least sell them for 4K, and at least I think I won't make, I don't lose any money. And if I would lose, that would be like, yeah, no problem. Now I see I don't want to do this anymore, anything like this, because it's stupid. You can lose a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't see big risk in
yeah.
this invest, because I can at least sell them for amount.
At least you'll get your money back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I posted this on my Twitter, but I did that recently as well. I took a 5K Valor boot, two 5K Valor boots, and actually flipped around for 8K. So I think it's important. You already pointed it out, and it's one of the things that I really believe in is, if you're listening to this podcast right now, if you're reading the gold blogging sites, you really just need to engage your brain and think about what's going on, and don't just say, okay, so now all I'm going to do is buy Valor boots and flip them, because he said he spotted for 5 and made 8, so that's 3K, so I'm just going to spend all my money on Valor boots and flip them. You know, you have to be actively looking at things. If you're in the US, Undermine Journal's there to help you to actually see what the market for this is or what that, but you know, you'll come to learn over time what the best deals are or what the best is for you. And you sound a lot like me, Joachim, in that you would rather make a lot of small transactions that ultimately add up to a lot more money than to have a few giant transactions. And I know people say that the more money you get, the more money you can make. And I can understand that, because there's certain markets that I don't want to get into because I don't want to lose that money, but people that have more money can probably make those. But it's a matter of scale, and I think I'm with you on I'm the slow and steady type of gold maker.
Yeah. Before I go back to my point where I tell which add-ons I use, I had something to say. Wait. This is about the making gold with low capital. I think this is the most perfect opportunity to make gold with the low capital, because I use like, I think 1.5K per week to buy these mats, and I flip them for around, well, I think, and now I'm really, this is just the truth, it's around 10K or something, which I can flip them. It takes sometimes time, but you know, I can still have my rune cloth, you know, 100 stacks of rune cloth in my bank waiting, and once I get the one chance to sell 50, and then again in 2 days I get one chance to sell 50, and then I'm out of rune cloths. Never stop buying, because they're so cheap. Anyways, at some point you're gonna sell them for profit, and there's I could say there's no risk when you are investing to low level markets. And the best call makers, if you can buy cheap cobalt and cheap fell iron or adamantite, and yeah, I think those are the best gold makers, because nobody wants to farm them, because they're so hard to farm. There's when I leveled my blacksmithing and I did some mining, it took like a few hours to get through that fell iron place, because it's so slow to farm. Mm-hmm. It's so slow to farm. I think they nerfed the spawn rates or something, because there was nobody farming, and it still took so long for me to farm all of that, or to get my blacksmithing going.
Yeah, I think my wife had that same problem with doing fell iron ore when you were mining. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, it was, which means, you know, for somebody leveling it up, it's annoying, but to people that make gold, they look at and they see dollar signs. They're not annoyance. Anytime something's annoying to people, the dollar signs can go up in that, because they don't want to have to deal with that.
In one point when I was able to snatch 20 stacks of fell iron for 15 gold per stack, that's like sick. I sold every single one of them, every single stack, for 250 gold. Every single. I was like, when I did that for first time, because I bought two, you know, I was leveling my blacksmith. I did some mining, yeah, I didn't finish it for the first day, and when I came back, I always check the auction house before I go mining to see if there's cheap mats to level it. I went to auction house and saw this. I bought every single one of them, because they were 15 gold per stack. Who cares? 20 stacks for 15 gold per stack. Yeah, I bought them all, and next week I sold them for 250 gold per stack. Nice. And I was like, that was the point when I started to realize, man, this is a place to make gold. Because around 2 weeks after that, my friend's subscription ran out and I wasn't able to use enchanting or cello crafting, which I think those two professions are the biggest things to make your daily income with. Mm-hmm. Because there's always cheap ore. Especially because of these bots, there's always cheap ore, and you can make your profits every day, some nice income. But after I lost those two professions, and I'm not able to use them, I started looking so many other markets. Now, like, I've just made, like, everything. not really everything, but I've tried almost everything which seems to be profitable. And believe it or not, I had 150 stacks of iron ore. I made my friend smelt them all, and I made 55 some kind of brazers, which cost 6 iron bars, which is 3 gold for me, or less. And it disenchants, and it is also, you need one, some color of dew, I don't know, or how you pronounce it. You know, from the tailoring vendor.
Oh, dye?
Yeah, dye, yeah. Anyways, it costs around 3 gold me to make one, and it always disenchants for more than 2 soul dust, and soul dusts go for 5 gold each.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's more than double profit per one, and it's usually the usual amount it disenchants for is 3 soul dust, sometimes 2, and sometimes 4, and sometimes even 5. But
nice.
That's some weird place to make profit, but still, mm-hmm. I'm profit from it. Even if it's not a big market, I still get some like stack per day sold. It's still place where I can dump my iron bars when I cannot sell them all, because iron bars, I usually get so many iron bars that from some of them I smelt steel goes for around 3 gold each for most of the time, but the demand isn't that big, so I make from irons I make steel from some of them, and some of them I try to sell like when I reset the markets or when I see good opportunity, when there's no posters besides me or someone posted for around 7 gold or something, I just post my mine for 5 gold each. And well, I still can't dump all of my iron ore or bars, so I just need to make these, and I found this profitable. Actually, I tried that first time yesterday and it seemed to work. Sold 2 stacks of soul dust last night.
We're going to take a break really quick right here. We're talking to Joachim, and this is Flux from the Power Word Gold, powerwordgold.net. All right, we'll be back in a second. Thanks. Has that rotund torn physique got you down? Head over to the auction house and get some pygmy oil. Drink it, drink it, drink it, and you'll be small as a gnome. Well, actually, you will be a gnome. But you'll be cute! Get some pygmy oil today. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Power Word Gold podcast. This is Flux, along with my guest, Joachim. And before our break, he was talking a little bit about some of the low-level mats that he used, and as well, he is going to be talking about the add-ons that he uses for that. I'm also going to let him basically pick what topics he wants to talk about, because he came to the meeting today with some interesting topics. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Joachim.
First of all, let's start with the add-ons I use. Many people may think it's pretty hard to, you know, watch all the markets on both sides to see when to sell and when to buy. Of course, I don't buy every single of my low-level mats on Alliance side. So if you still didn't get it, I play on a Horde side. And most of the time, I buy my low-level mats on Alliance side. But but I'm still getting some of my low-level mats on the horde side. But I need to, you know, be aware of the market prices at the specific moments, because they're so different in different times and days, and I really need to be aware all the time when to buy and when not, and when to post and when not to post or buy, and when to buy out and when not to buy out, and just sit and wait to sell everything or some of it. I got so many things in stockpile, which like 200 stacks of rune cloth, which cost around 2k gold, and that's nothing. 2k gold for 200 stacks of rune cloth, which I can sell forward around 3 times or more profit, which is kind of huge. You just need to be ever aware of the markets all the time, and the add-ons which I use to keep myself aware of the market prices at the moment are Auctionator is my number one add-on for that. I made a few, you know, shopping lists, or I don't know what they're called.
Yep.
Yeah. I got two for my Chevo crafting and blacksmithing, which means all the ores and the bars and the gems, from low level Azeroth gems to up to Northrend gems, which I snatch if they're cheap, and I will sell for profit. Also, I have some things like Amber Jewel there. It's just because I try to find places where I can sell my huge stock of Amber Jewels for even more than 3 gold each.
I sell them for whatever. Luckily, on my server, they're usually going for like 5, but
yeah,
there's theories that the vendor prices were turned around backwards for the rares versus the uncommons, but
yeah, that could bring like the whole prospecting thing around. You know, it wouldn't be so safe place to make profit if they would change that.
Yeah, vendor. My theory is that they did it on purpose so that everybody would keep that supply.
Yeah, because you know, back in LK, they used to cost 1 gold each. Every single uncommon gem, they used to go for 1 gold each, and I think they want, you know, farmers to get more gold than the shufflers or prospectors, but I don't think it was that way, because I don't know, but most of the farmers who even aren't bots, they're just selling the ore. I don't know why.
Yeah. I think it's just a time factor. I mean, I think if they're doing it for botting and it's actually like a gold making company, they have to make, they only get paid by how much gold they make, so they want to make as much of it as possible.
Yeah, yeah, but let's not talk more.
No,
about
I
was talking.
I'm
about,
not interested,
you know,
in the seedier side, players. But yeah, real farmers. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why they're doing it.
Maybe they have about 2-3 bank tabs full of ore and wondering why.
Nice. Actually, this is off topic, but there's at the moment 86 gold per one pirate ore stack.
Yeah.
In an auction house, and there's 31 stacks available. I'm gonna just buy every single one of them.
Well, not all of them. You're gonna leave one of them up there, right?
Yeah, of course. 3 or something. That's how I roll, man. Yeah, anyways.
Okay. So add-ons and Auctionator.
Yeah, the Auctionator is my main add-on for the buying. I got my Chevo crafting and blacksmithing in 2 shopping lists, because one shopping list only lets you list 50 items, and I don't like that. Also, I got this cloth and leather shopping list, and that's mostly all. There's almost all the items which I need to snatch, and every other item I have these regular stuff shopping list, where it's all the things like Book of Clipmaster. Actually, the Book of Clipmastery is kind of good thing to buy if you get them for cheap amount, amount of gold, because I've been selling these things for, the normal price is around 500, but I sold up to 1.6k, and that's huge. You know, I sold once one book of Clip Mastery for 1.6k, and they sometimes go for from 600 to 1k gold each.
Yeah, I was telling you a story about how I had about 30 of them saved up before because of the, there was a bug on the PTR that wouldn't let you keep your professions, and I took about 30 of them on my character, went over to the PTR, but then I still had those when Lich King happened and when, or not with Lich King, when Cataclysm, and when I started selling them for 200 or 300 gold, I was pretty excited, but if I would have known how much they had gone up and how, you know, hard they were going to be for people to find.
Yeah, that's the thing why they're so expensive, because people are not farming, mostly people are not farming the old world, not our old world, but,
Lich
you
King.
Know, Nordrend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lich King places, because, besides leveling, because why would they? Because people always forget the fact that things that used to make profit still make profit, and mostly there's just less competition. And still, profits are gonna be there. Demand is lower, but profits are bigger, so I don't really know.
Well, I think most of the people's stockpiles from at the end of Lich King are probably gone by now. I know Fades at nerffades.blogspot.com was talking about the fact that she was able to sell Frostweave cloth for a good profit. She makes bags out of it, so she does farm it for that, but these Lich King items and even Burning Crusade items are going for a good amount. So,
yeah, I got. I think I got. Let me check. I'm on my priest. I got. At the moment, from this week, I bought 305 Frostfield cloth from Alliance side. They every single stack were less than one. I am not. Stack, but each were less than one gold, and making one bag costs around 90 gold and sells for 200. That's one place to make gold.
Those are the
too.
Kind of profit margins I like. 100% profit to me is good.
Yeah, but if you think about my other low level markets, they're
around
three or more.
Well, you're getting the benefit of being the person that's out there doing that.
What?
You're getting the benefit of being one of the only people doing it.
Yeah.
That's why you're
getting
such good markups. Sounds like a lot of people on the Horde side have a lot of time on their hands and a lot of gold and would rather pay somebody, not pay, you know, buy the mats off the auction house to level up enchanting and tailoring and a few others on their alts while they're bored waiting to get into Paragon.
Yeah. the thing is why I don't get these people is I would never I'm just honest here. I would never buy my own auctions. Never. They're so freaking expensive. I would never buy them. I refuse to buy adamantium ore for 2 gold each. I need only 5 stacks, and I got freaking 170,000 gold. But you know, that's I wouldn't be rich.
Well, a lot of people are more willing to. They don't have as much time, and they have gold, and so they're just willing to spend the gold instead of the time. But I'm like you. If I see something expensive on the auction house, like I did this with Volatile Life, I was at low on Volatile Life for my transmutes on my 3 different alchemists, and I said, well, I'm just gonna go farm them. So I go out and I farm them, and it takes me 45 minutes to an hour to get 15 Volatile Life, and and at that point I said, well, maybe I'll just keep buying them for 10 or 11 gold a piece. But of course that's not a really gouging price, so it's not really a big deal. If they were selling for 30 gold a piece, then I wouldn't even be bothering. But yeah,
man,
I'm with
10,
you.
Man, 10 is like almost 3 times the prices on our server.
For
it's
Volatile
3,
Life?
5. Yeah,
oh,
it's
wow.
3 to 5.
Million. What about Volatile Air?
Airs are around 15 at the moment.
Oh.
They used to be 30.
Yeah, I think this just goes to show you that, like you said, and I tweeted the other day, it's always about the server.
Yeah.
You always got to double check everything because prices there's so many different factors that go into these markets that can be, it can be how many big players you have, how many not big players you don't have, a bunch of different stuff. There's no real way to tell, and that's why you need to get your boots on the ground and go in there.
I still haven't noticed anybody doing the same thing I'm doing, and I think if anybody with even decent amount of gold, I think 30 would be enough to make this this way to make gold to the same level that I'm doing it, because this doesn't require much money. As I told you, I have around 200 stacks of rune cloth in bank, and imagine they cost about 2,000 gold. Yeah, and that's nothing, man.
Did you have a few topics that you wanted to talk about today on the podcast? Specific topics?
Yeah. First of all, I would like to discuss a little about the epic gems, because I think even people talk a lot about it. I think the more views there's about it, the more like, of course, nobody can be right or 100% right, mm-hmm. but I think the more point of views there is, the, you know, I don't really know how to explain it. I don't get the words for it, but, you know, the more points of views for the epic gems, where people think the epic gems will come from,
the better that people might be able to prepare and not get blindsided.
Exactly.
What's your kind of theories about epic gems, and what are you doing to prepare for epic gems?
I've stocked cheap, and I really mean cheap, pyrite ore, and I have now around 120 stacks. I'm not going full into it, because I see that if I go full into it, and someone else goes full into it, and third one goes full into it, the price is gonna drop. And mm-hmm. I'm serious. If many people go full into it, and they have a lot of money to invest to it, I'm like investing to pyrite ore, which costs less than 100 gold per stack at the moment. I think I'm gonna lower that price to 90. Every single stack of pyrite which is less than 90 gold, I will buy now, because once I got more, I want the pyrite to cost less, because I want to invest less mm-hmm. to it and get more, you know, because the prices are going down. And I don't think, if I don't have like something around 500 stacks of it, I'm not gonna lose anything. Mm-hmm. If I have like 200 stacks and the epic gems will not come from prospecting pyrite, I think I still won't lose much money, because from some of it I can make things like pyrite weapon chains or bars and sell the bars, because I'm 100% sure that in next patch the pyrite cost will go up, mm-hmm. because in every at least in when the firelands hit, because in every single major patch there is new gear craftable, and they will either cost true gold or pyrite, and I think they will probably cost both mm-hmm. crafting one item. And I think the pyrite is, well, at least it's not going lower. That wouldn't make any sense.
Unless it gets flooded, because people that stockpiled it are going to have to try dumping it after if they're the kind of person that just wants to get it out of there.
Then I just wait, because I got gold. I don't need to get rid of my items, which have no value.
Yeah, well, I'm probably right about the same. I have about the same idea as you. I originally was gonna hold off on it because I didn't want to invest in it, but then I realized that it is worth it to go into it as deep as you feel comfortable going into it. For me, the pyrite ore supplies have been relatively sparse the last week or so. I don't think there's a lot of bots on my server. Either that, or people are buying it up to save it up for it. But I think a lot of times gold makers overestimate the amount of people on their server that actually probably listen to these podcasts and learn about making gold. I think we tend to believe that everybody on our server already knows everything about what we already know about, but we're the ones that we tend to worry about it on a daily basis. But that's not to say that people don't, because I have met people that have read Cold's Gold Factory and a few of these other big blogs out there. But I talked about this on the Just My Two Copper podcast, and I think that Blizzard's going to introduce gems and phases. They're going to be, it's been this way in a lot of the other expansions where it's difficult to get them at first. There's a lot of barriers, and then over time it slowly eases up to the point where there's easier and easier to get them. I know, like, in Burning Crusade, they were inside of certain raids, and then you were able to purchase them with Justice Point, or Justice Badges, and so eventually, you know, it expands out. I am stockpiling, but I'm not stockpiling a ton. I'm probably stockpiling about 30 or 40 stacks of pyrite ore as they come up. I'm not, you know, I'm actually farming them on the side as well. I've gotten back to farming, because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of, since I noticed on the auction house there's not a lot of bots, where you don't see 230 stacks of obsidian for you know 45 gold each or whatever. When I'm in Twilight Highlands farming now, there's only maybe one or two other people I see at any given time, which means the nodes are right there. So the volatiles that come out of those I like to get, I don't like Elementium as much just because it doesn't shuffle as well, but the pyrite, I'm doing a lot of it on my own. So I think that they'll come from multiple sources. It's pretty much guaranteed that they're going to be able to be transmuted from alchemy.
Yeah, but the question is there cooldown?
Yeah, if there is a cooldown on that, I have three transmute spec alchemists. I'm going to be getting a fourth one before the patch comes out. So I already have them doing volatile air transmutes, because the air sells for about 30 gold a piece. Like 25 gold a piece, and it costs about 10 gold for the life. So that's kind of what I'm... And then the other thing I'm stockpiling is Carnelian's Inferno Rubies and Heart Blossoms, because if they do use... Herbs, getting the herbs cheap ahead of time. I really only care about the red gems right now, so that's really kind of how I'm pinpointing in my epic gem strategy.
Yeah. If there would be somebody reading your blog who is on your server, and he steps on your markets which you introduced on your own blog, and you're a cult gold blogger, you should be good making gold. You should be like thinking about, shouldn't be thinking in a box, but outside of the box. And you can find a new market. He doesn't. And soon, in some point, the guy who will reach your blog, if he's on the same server and still like so-called stealing your markets, he's anyways can keep the market if it's not that profitable to you, but you can just get a new market.
Yeah.
Because I found these low-level markets and no competition, not at all.
I think that being a gold blogger is... I'm not a greedy gold blogger. I should say I'm not a jealous gold blogger, meaning that I'm not jealous of my own ideas. I got into gold blogging to share ideas about gold making, not to hoard them. Everything I do, I always do in the open, whether it's on Twitter, my blog, which actually just got a new address. I just want to plug that. It's powerwordgold.net. Some amoeba apparently parked, powerwordgold.com. I'm still looking into that, but I got powerwordgold.net, and, so getting back to what I was talking about, it's all about learning the gold making mindset. Once you can learn the mindset that's required to find new markets, like you found your own niche market that works really well for you on your server. I've found the same thing on my server, and it's really about, you know, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day, teach a man to fish, he'll eat forever kind of thing, where if I can help Gold, the people that read the blog and people in the Gold community engage their brains and learn how to find these ways to make gold, because the people that read the Gold blogs, by the time it's onto the Gold blog, unless you like read it that day and there's some big breaking news like Whiptail's respawns are increased or, you know, a few other things, by the time it's on the blogs and by the time people in the general public read those blogs or in the general WoW public read those blogs, there's a good chance that that market is either already gone or is gonna, the longer it's a known way to make gold, the less and less gold you can probably make out of it, and the more diverse of it is, it helps.
Best players make the gold in the market. I mean, best gold makers make the gold in that, in any market, mm-hmm. when it's still the most profitable, and once the market is fluid, they just go out. Like, I just... You can do it, like, with everything. When you get nice chance to, like, sell netherweave bags, which I have now 200 in my bank, because I found so many stacks of netherweave, less than 10 gold each stack. And one day I found there's no netherweave bags in auction house. I posted 40... And I mean 40 netherweave bags for 75 gold each. I sold 30 of them. Normally they go for around 25, 35 to 40. That's the normal price of them. But what else? I think it's like most important that you take a look at the prices, and when you like me, I know most of the prices on the markets which I use, and some of the markets which I'm not that, you know, active making gold, I still take a look at them, and if I see a spot to post my example flasks, I have few stacks of spirit flasks in my bank still, and I'm trying to sell them. And sometimes when there's not many posted, or there's fewer around 100 gold, I try to sell my own, and once I get them sold, yes, I'm actually happy, because I've tried to get rid of them, but I don't want to sell them for 60 gold each, because that's almost a half I would get from selling them at the right time.
It's really interesting. I probably need to work on that more. For most of my career, I've always been a sell it at the price it is at the moment kind of guy. But I guess a lot of times in the past, when you're not really focusing on making gold, you tend to come to the auction house at sporadic times.
Yeah, and you know, with the low level market, you have to play like that, because you have to see the point where you don't want to sell, when you want to buy. You have to find the point when you want to sell, not to buy, or place when you want to buy few people out and post your own, or mm-hmm. places where you just want to wait.
So it's really about knowing your market well enough to know when to hold them and when to fold them, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, now there was a few other things you wanted to get into today. I wanted to maybe pick out one of them specifically, because it's something I'm not really knowledgeable about, and something I'd like to learn about, and that's farming old world raids, Molten Core and Blackwing Lair. Did you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I read it about this for some while ago and didn't have any interest in doing it, but now I think that when I think about it, farming ingots from Blackwing Lair and from Molten Core. The one boss, I don't remember the name, but one boss, if you watch on WoWhead, was it Elementium Ingot, which one boss has 30% chance to drop. Every character can buy this one recipe, and it's for the Sulfuron Hammer, the epic version. And if I'm sure, you can sell the recipe in auction house, and I've seen it for around 4,000 for a few weeks, and then it just suddenly disappeared, and I think he sold it. So I got this
idea. This is something that a character can do once in their career, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yes, but Elementium Ignot is BOE, so you can buy it, or you can farm it by yourself, or send it to your other character. And I have three set characters, and I think even my priest is able to solo the instance. You don't have to do anything else but one boss and some trash. And also one other thing which I was thinking about, I'm gonna learn one of those recipes from three recipes I'm gonna get. I'm gonna learn one of those, and I'm gonna make one hammer by farming myself, three characters, and when my friends gets back, that's four characters, farming it every week. I think in 3 to 4 weeks I'm able to get my hammer and see if it sells. Also, Elementium Ignots farm in Blackwing Lair. Yeah, those Ignots farm from Molten Core were Sulphuron Ignots. Sorry about that. Anyways, in Blackwing Lair, you can farm this Elementium Ignots from some kind of, I don't know, goblins or something. This one goblin named, wait a second. Master Elemental Shaper Krixx drops this. I think he has 100% chance to drop. If not, he has a spawn timer of 1 hour, even that whole place is cleared. So he drops this Goblin's Guide to Elementium. You can smell enchanted Elementium bar, which costs one Elementium Ignot, 10 Arcanite Bars, Fury Core, and Elemental Flux, three Elemental Flux. Elementium Ignot is farmed in Blackwing Lair, and you need at least two people to farm it, because the first boss isn't soloable. There's some mechanic which blows everyone up, no matter what amount, how much HP they got left or how much their maximum HP is. But if you're a mage or you're a paladin, I heard that maybe you're able to solo it if you bubble or use your ice block once the explosion happens. I'm not really sure about it, but maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, these enchanted elementium bars are needed to make the one-handed legendary, what was it called? Just a second. I don't remember the name of it.
It's not Thunder Fury, right?
Yeah, Thunder Fury. Yeah, okay. Thunder Fury. Yeah.
I just cringe about Thunder Fury because of trade chat. So.
Yeah. anyways, Thunder Fury. You need 10 enchanted elementium bars to make Thunder Fury. So. You could take your opportunity and see if you're able to sell these enchanted elementiums for a nice amount. Elementium Ignot is the only mat you really need to farm, because I think they're pretty expensive. But Fury Cores are around 8 gold each on my server, and you need only one to make one enchanted elementium. Plus 10 Arcanite Bars, 1 Elementium Ignot, and 3 Elemental Flux. Elemental Flux is vendor item. And I think this could sell for around 2,000, anything like that, then it would be a huge profit margin. Mm-hmm. Just farming one item.
Yeah, I have to admit that I've actually never... I've only been to Molten Core once, and that was to get a pet for a core hound pet, and I've actually never been to Blackwing Lair, so I think me and my wife are going to have to take some adventures in there and see what it's all about. So, and look at these, the possibility of these things that you talked about here with these old world raids. We're going to take a break right now. Again, this is Flux from Power Word Gold and Yokin, and why don't you pronounce your name the way that you would pronounce it just one time, because I know I butcher it the whole time.
Yokin.
Yokina. Okay, be back with Yokina in just a second. Are you tired of posting your auctions one by one by one on the auction house? Do you fall asleep at the keyboard? I have the product for you. Trade Skill Master, the latest and greatest in auction house technology. Download it now at curse.com. Trade Skill Master, it's awesome! Alright, welcome back to the Power Word Gold podcast. This is Flux, and I am with my guest, Yokin.
Hi.
Hey. We're going to be getting into the segment that I like to call Posts of the Week. I'm going to be going over the posts that I did this last week in Power Word Gold, and then some of the other posts that are that have been going around in the gold making community. Let's see. Let's start off. I started talking a little bit about there was actually both of the big blogging carnivals for gold making came up this. One's already up, but they both had similar topics, or not similar topics, but I was able to overlap the topics. Just My Two Copper was talking about how to make gold at low capital, which we've actually covered quite a bit in this podcast. And then Colt's Gold Factory is what's your favorite thing to sell cross-faction, which actually we've talked about a lot this week. I made a post explaining how to sell cooking recipes from the Alliance vendor to the Horde, and the thing I noticed when I did this, I'm working on Project Goblin, which is my project basically to start from level one and make gold solely based off of only using the knowledge I have as a gold maker, challenging myself. But this topic, or this post I made, was explaining how you go to an NPC named Kinder Kabanka. He's in the Pig and Whistle Inn in the Old Town, and you buy up his recipes, and these recipes are recipes that you can get from doing quests in Westfall or in Red Ridge, or there's a lot of different places, and he sells them all in one spot, and you take those and you either sell them on the cross-faction auction house by themselves, or if you have two accounts or a trading partner or somebody to help you out, you can sell those on the Horde side. And I've been pretty surprised at how well these have sold. Yokin, have you sold these recipes at all on the Horde side?
I haven't really been into these vendor recipes, but I've done a lot with these pets around everywhere in the world, you know, which you can buy infinite amount or set amount from some vendor. You know, like from Darkmoor Fair, there's this one guy running with his frog, and he sells, or she, I don't know.
It's a boy, I think, but yeah.
Okay. He sells frogs. I think it's some kind of wood, frog in a wood box or something like that. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, but the wood frog box.
Yeah. I was able to sell those for around 30 gold and got them all of my 50 of those pets sold.
Nice.
I think it was 1.5 week.
And those come out during Darkmoon Fair, so Darkmoon Fair is going on right now. So make sure to get out and pick those up. The posts I made, I went into quite a bit of detail, not only about where to pick up these recipes, but how to get to the cross-faction auction house. My blog is really pointed towards all levels of gold making, not just people that have a lot of gold. And so even if you're low level and you're listening to this, you want to know how to get to these neutral auction houses, it goes through basically every Alliance level class, and let you know what's the fastest way you can get over to one of these cross-faction auction houses to make sales. Hold on a second. I actually got to go to my blog because I think I remember reading somewhere about how if you make a edit to your post in Blogger, it'll actually make it so that it'll bring up the wrong order. Okay, so let's see, the podcast number 2 came out this last week, and it took about 4 hours to edit that podcast, and I hope you guys appreciate it. No, I was
nice
really
podcast.
Oh, Thank you. I took out a lot of the... I edited it really heavily, and it just as more of an experiment. Each one of my podcasts, I'm hoping, gets a little bit better every time. And now that we have an awesome guest with us, I hope this podcast will, too.
Of course.
I've been happy with the responses that I got to the second podcast, and so definitely go check that out. I'm waiting on approval through iTunes. There was a problem with my feed the first time, and I think I got that all worked out. So that should be fixed. So if you haven't heard the second or first podcast, you can always go to my blog, and there's an RSS feed if you use RSS. And there's also in the tag cloud, you can click on podcast and you can find out both my podcasts. I made a video this week about how to maximize your living elements, transmute. If there's one thing I've talked about a lot, it's about how valuable it is to have at least one, if not two, or more transmute spec to alchemists that are able to do transmutes.
By the way, I have one thing to ask. Is your warlock all the time in Dalaran? Because
yes.
I found that it's pretty good place to, you know, for your gold making alts to be in. You know, you don't move with him, but he's just always there. And
correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
I found the original reason that he was in Dalaran was because at that time, up until about a month ago or so, the only place to do an ink trader was in Dalaran. So
yeah.
I did ink trading because he's my inscriptionist. But I found that it's best to still stay there because he's only level 80, but he does transmute living elements, and so I take that portal out to Tanaris from. And the Caverns of Time to fly him out there, and that's all covered in the video that I did. And then he just hearts back to Dalaran. But yeah, it's nice because if you're a glyph maker and people aren't as savvy to put you on their friends list, people can see you if you're in Stormwind or Orgrimmar or whatever. They can see your alt, and they might notice you running around to the mailbox. And if they're undercutting you, then they want to undercut after you've logged off or whatever, or they don't see you anymore. So that's why I stick in Dalaran with him. And I got two of my alchemists. If your alchemist is under level 83, you want to maybe stick them there because it's easy to get there. If they do auctions, keep them in Dalaran because you got the auction house right there. If they don't do auctions, just stick them in Oldham and leave them there because you can just mail them as many volatile life as you want, and they just log in. It takes 3 seconds to do the transmute and log back out. So that's that. Let's see. April 1st came along, and for anybody who hasn't been using the internet for the last 5, 10, 15 years, you know that April 1st is really not the day you want to be paying attention to any news, any new products. And
man, your story in your blog, that was like worst ever, man. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it was my attempt at humor. If you hadn't read it yet, basically I wrote up a post telling how I got my second Ashes of Alar, and due to a mistake based on the fact that my cat was knocked something off in the kitchen and I didn't pay attention and rolled neat on it. So go ahead and head over and read that post.
Was it true? What?
The fact that you ask if it was true means that I succeeded. Yeah, it's not.
Man.
It's not true.
Yeah.
It's not true, of course.
Oh.
the best April Fool's jokes are the ones that make people say, "Wait a minute, is this?" You know. So, yeah, it wasn't true, and I posted that up on Reddit's r/wow for thing, and I got some people saying, "If this wasn't April 1st, I would hate you." So because they would have hated to have somebody think that they have two Ashes of Alar. But I do have a few other items in my bags that I have two of, like Brewfest mounts and Kodos that I have that are still in the bag because I can't loot them, but I don't want to get rid of them because I got multiples of that. And then that's about all for the post of this week. I have a post coming out today that is, today being Sunday, I'll probably put this on the bumper at the beginning when I edit this, but today is, we're recording this on Sunday, April 3rd, and it'll be coming out on Tuesday. So the article I'm going to be putting up tomorrow or today should be out by the time you hear this podcast, and that's going to be talking about using your alts to park them in different areas. And funny story is that I got this idea from Fades, who I tend to get a lot of my posting ideas from, because she always has such good ideas. And if you don't subscribe to her blog, it's Nerf Fades, and the web address is nerffades, nerffaids.blogspot.com. And she had talked about how she parks alts in areas, and the post that I'm going to be putting up today is going to be about how to park alts for profit, basically, because a lot of us have alts that aren't doing much and they're good. And funny story is that Just My Two Copper actually has an exact same post today out about this topic, and so it'll be fun to have this come out on the same day that they had it come out. But, you know, good ideas are good ideas, and so... but that's my post of the week. I'm going to just talk now a little bit about what's been happening in the gold-making community. If you don't subscribe to... If you don't have Twitter, and Joaquin... Now you have Twitter.
Yeah,
so
I have Twitter.
I've been watching. How have you liked it so far, being on Twitter and
yeah, well, it's a bit lonely because you're the only follower at the moment, but at least you did at least one retweet.
Are you following a lot of the other gold makers that are on Twitter?
Yeah, well, I have around 6, which I like.
I tend to be a little bit more picky. I tend to actually remove people off my feed or follow quite a bit, but I have my personal account for Twitter, and then I have this account, and I tend to, like, if somebody I think is going to be interesting, I'll read them, and if they end up not talking about what I like, I'll, like, take them off my Power Word Gold, and I'll put them more onto my personal Twitters, because then I can just relax and not have to pay attention. All right, this week in gold making, one of my favorite posts came from one of my favorite gold bloggers, which is Bangkok Bill. And he kind of lit a fire in his comment section based off of his post, which is entitled Pyrite Ore, Black Swans, and Risk. And if you don't read Bangkok Bill, it's BBWOG. It's Bangkok Bill's World of Goldcraft. And it's, let me make sure I got that, BBWOG.org. And he basically, what he was saying with this post, Pyrite Ore, Black Swans, and Risk, is that nobody really knows where Pyrite Ore, a lot of people have ideas, and a lot of people are betting, but nobody really knows except for Blizzard. And so he was saying that there's a chance that there could be some catastrophic thing that, where they could come from some completely unknown area, and all of us that are stockpiling Pyrite Ore could be out on our keysters there. I tended to agree with him, but the thing that I thought was most interesting about his post was that he was saying that he wasn't going to stock Pyrite Ore, but then again, I think he said he might, and then on his next post, he ended up saying that he is going to stockpile, but he's not going to stockpile all of them. So go read Pyrite Ore, Black Swans, and Risk parts one and two, and be sure to subscribe to his blog, because he has some really good stuff, and I like him. He's really active on Twitter and in the comment sections on my blog, and so I like people that are active on Twitter and active on my blog. I like comments. Let's see here.
I think people are too shy, you know. Not many people are commenting.
When I
just found your blog, I wanted to talk to you immediately, man.
And why was it that you wanted to talk to me when you found my blog?
Well, most of these people haven't answered, you know. I just enjoy having a conversation about this gold making, and found some other new place to make gold.
Cool. Well, I'm glad to have you on the podcast, because I like talking to people that have ideas that are a little outside the box. It's easy to just post what everybody else is posting, but it's a little harder to actually get some good content in there. And I think that people tend to gravitate towards blog posts, bloggers, and blogs and people, because not everybody has a blog that are bringing fresh ideas to the table. And it doesn't have to be a completely fresh idea, but it could be just a modification, or it could even be bringing something back that that hasn't been brought up for a while. I mean, all these gold blogs have years. Some of these gold blogs have years of archives, and you know, I'm going to start going back and listening to some of the older gold making podcasts just because I think, like you were talking about during the break, a lot of these tips for how to make gold in the past are still valid today.
Yes, yes, because the demand goes lower and supply goes lower, but then suddenly someone who has farmed around, well, let's say this cloth, 4 stacks. He was in an instance, now he doesn't have place to throw all his cloth. He's new player. He just throws all the cloth for 10 gold per stack. Now, I buy the cloth, and now because I know the real value for it, there's not much demand, but still there's not supply, so I'm mostly the only seller or the first one on the list, and now I'm going to sell it for 4 gold each. And I don't call my markets niche markets because I have so many different and easy markets to watch that in together they are like bigger market than the Obsidian Shuffle. I really could say that because I got so many different bars and ores and cloths and leathers which I watch and see their prices and what to do.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably start. I know that every server is different, and every gold
it's
maker is
about
a little
the
bit
server.
Different. Yeah, it's always about the server. Trademark Joaquin.
Yeah,
I tweeted that while we were actually in our meeting or while we were talking last week. Let's see. So Fades had some pretty nice posts this last week. One of the ones that really caught my attention was she had a post called Are You a Guru? And basically, this was really just a semantic discussion about if somebody is or isn't or should be calling themselves a gold guru. And my comment on this particular topic was to quote one of the an author named Dom Segola, who actually was one of the creators of Twitter. His book basically says, don't proclaim yourself a leader or an expert. Only others can call you such things. And yeah, so I think that that's really good advice. I mean, I know a lot of people in the community call themselves gurus. It's an easy word. It doesn't rhyme, but it sounds good with gold. But really, if you're a guru, it's because other people think you are, not because you think you are one yourself.
Yeah.
And so go ahead and over to that and read some of the ideas. A lot of people were kind of saying that it was really about how you make your money or how much you have, but I think in reality it's what other people around you think about what you're doing and not what you think about what you're doing. A lot of people that tend to try to make money, real world money, off of gold, the gold making community tend to use those phrases because they sound good and they sound sensational. And when somebody wants to buy something, maybe they think that that's good to buy it off somebody who they think knows a lot. But just in general, I wouldn't do that. Fade had her Fadian slip, which is about, I think it's about her weekly video that she does, and I really like listening to those because she always has some really interesting ideas. And this week's is about farming the behemoth. I had just mentioned this kind of offhand in one of the Just My Two Copper meetings, but there was a rare spawn named the behemoth that spawns down by the entrance to Black Rock Depths, and he drops a it's the Valren Slicer, which is a blue item that disenchants into large, brilliant shards. And so if you see a screenshot in the post or whatever, yeah, she has just a bunch of them in her bag.
I think that's pretty good, the way to make extra gold if you have two accounts or you are able to use two accounts.
Yeah. So go check that out. One thing that happened this week, I guess, the gold blog. Of course, this happened right before April Fool's, but I do think it's true. Phase 3 Profit apparently is closing its doors. Big Jim, who was the writer there, this blog was really before my time in gold blogging, but they're closing down and moving on, and I kind of just commented on their blog, letting them know that we're, you know, good luck, and without bloggers like that kind of to build this community, I wouldn't have had a community to come into when I came into the gold blogging community, and so good luck to them for whatever they're moving on to. And also, Pink Pigtail Inn apparently was one of the blogs that was quite a prolific blog for quite a few years, also stopped blogging. And it seems like a lot of people are just kind of moving on. I think this tends to be a normal phase that a lot of communities go through, where there's the first generation that kind of blazes the trails, and then the other generations come after. And I think that it's not that a lot of the stuff that I might say is necessarily new, but it's new to me and it's new to the people in the community. And I just wanted to say that I wouldn't still be doing, I mean, I probably would still be doing the blog now, but it's even more worthwhile to me because of the community that we have here. If you go to any of these blogs, Cold's Gold Factory, Just My Two Copper, Bangkok Bill, Analyst, just to name a few, and you look at the blog roles on these blogs, you'll see that there's a lot of people who are not just gold bloggers, but that have actually part of a really awesome community.
I think best way to appreciate these guys keeping these gold blogs is to comment. I think that's best way. Because at least if I would keep my old blog, I think the best way to appreciate it would be commenting and discussing about the post or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. The other thing that I've noticed is it just takes one click, but if you have Twitter and you're on Twitter and you follow a gold blogger and there's a post that you like, just retweet their post, because they appreciate that too. A lot of us that use Twitter have a way that we at least monitor it or just send them a direct message and let them know, hey, I really liked your post. Everybody that gets a direct message in Twitter gets an email sent out to them with letting them know that they got a direct message, and so that's one way to really let them know. But, comment and just let them know that you're out there. Ask them questions. Find an email address or send them a direct message and let them know you have questions. I love spending a few minutes answering emails from readers. I love spending a few minutes on Skype, you know, talking to people that have questions. So just get in there and let's see what else we got. I'm just kind of coming up to the end of here. Stockpile, who does a pretty beefy blog that has a lot of information converged in a small space, talked about, he had a post called Updated Bestsellers, and he's one of the bloggers I've noticed that's a lot more statistic-oriented or a lot more focused on letting people know what's selling, how much it's selling for, and so you can go onto that blog post and see what he's selling. I'm not going to go over the whole list, but it looks like some of the things that just come to mind is Netherweave bags again are selling well, and just go ahead and Massacre and Berserking are going in. You had actually brought up an interesting point in our last meeting, which was to farm Zulamon for enchanting recipes. Did you want to talk about that, since Zulamon's changing?
Yeah, it's not that big thing, but it's one little niche market which I could see selling. I still haven't tried it, but did my first Zulamon run, and there's this one recipe, Executioner, which is Bob recipe, so you cannot sell the recipe itself, but it has 15% chance to drop from every boss, so it's quite easy to farm. I think it takes maximum 2 weeks to get it. Mm-hmm. I got it on first boss, which I killed.
Mm-hmm.
You can do this, get the recipe, and Zulamon will be gone. Myself, personally, if I would level, I would use this enchant in my weapon, because I like to level in the battle crowns, and I like to get every single thing which makes me, like, gives me an advantage against mm-hmm. the other players. Like,
yeah.
I like when I play PvP in normal brackets, 85 brackets, and I used to play in 80 brackets or 70 brackets. I, of course, enchant, make the best enchants in my gear and best gems and everything. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I don't see this selling much, but personally I would use that enchant, and it being decent price but not so overpriced, I think this could be one market where you could get some sales.
Yeah.
Try it out. It's not hard.
Yeah, with it going away, I mean, I'm almost guaranteed they're not going to be putting back a Burning Crusade recipe into a boss of a new five-man heroic. Yeah. So this is your last chance to go out there and get Executioner. Also, there, I don't know, I haven't done it on the PTR, but there's a pet you can get in Zillamon by farming the trash.
Mojo.
Yeah, Mojo. By farming the trash, you'll get these little hex sticks, and you'll go and you'll... you'll click on one of the frogs on the ground, and you'll use the hex stick, and it'll spawn an NPC.
Little thing about those. If you die, you lose the hex sticks.
Correct.
And the mojo isn't sellable, so don't go for it if you want profit.
This is just for your own personal collection. I'm a pet collector on one of my characters, and so I farmed it, and I got it on a second run through. You can actually kill the trash without killing the bosses, and then you can come back and keep farming it without actually killing any of the bosses if you want to get more hex sticks.
By the way, there's also this one vendor which spawns if you use the hex sticks. I heard he has this one thing which he sells and has, like, I think it's half an hour spawn timer, which contains mostly these, strength or agility, intelligence, spirit.
You're talking about the enchanted scroll case?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has chance to drop these recipes. It's rare recipes from...
Oh, really?
CBC, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. I thought they only contained, scrolls, but I'll have to look more into that. That's a good tip. All right, so let's see, kind of wrapping up here. There's a podcast I started listening to called The Mana Cooler. I know it's been around for a while. It's what he calls a mini podcast. It's about 15 minutes long for each podcast. But go ahead and go out and check out that. I'm always looking for new podcasts, and like I said, I'm going to be, while I'm farming and stuff, I'm going to be digging into old podcasts. I know there was a podcast in the past called Call to Auction that eventually the guy from that was one of the guys from Phase 3 Profit, and then the other guy, Euripides, writes for WoW Insider now about gold making there. I'm going to be starting to dig into some old, because I like to, I think you said, I like to put on something in the background while I'm going and doing whatever I'm doing, and and so one of the things I like to do is to put podcasts on, and I love hearing older podcasts that talk about something that the way that they were able to make gold in the past. Let's see here.
That's the sealed scroll case, and if you're lucky, you can even get the plans for dirge or however it's pronounced, and it has 0.02 chance to drop from Amani Bear and 0.01 chance to drop from Felgar Brute and 0.01 chance to drop from Fear Drake, and everything else shows 0%. So, and it has 0.17% chance to.
Yeah, it looks like Boar Speed. Yeah, there's a lot of recipes that could come out of here. So
yeah, and you can sell them all. Mostly, I think.
Nice.
So,
get in there, get a friend who you can join a raid with, and start farming up till that vendor pops up. That's a really good point.
Keep camping it.
Log in. It's another. I might add that to my post since I'm putting it out today. Let's see. All right. So one of the things that happened this week was the Just My Two Copper meeting happened on Friday. If you weren't able to make it to that, be sure to go head out to Just My Two Copper and find the recording of that. What did you think about the meeting this week, since I know you were listening in, Yoko?
Yeah, I was like, was early in the morning when I was listening. It was started at 4 a.m. and listening it up to 6 a.m. went to sleep. Well, anyways, I think it was pretty decent meeting, but it still has some things to improve.
Mm-hmm.
I think you had some nice things to talk about, but I think you shouldn't, yes, always like talk about those most relevant things, but you know, the little things, which you have a lot of little things, you make one big thing. Mm-hmm. Which is always, you know, you're alone on the market, which these niche markets are called. You're alone in the market, you sell one in a every day, example, or one in a week, it's still profit. And if you have 10 of these, it's the same value as some bigger market. And you don't need to camp this market at all because you're the only seller. That's why I like my own markets, low-level markets for the win.
All right. Well, we're gonna take our last break here. We're gonna come back and finish up talking about the Just My Two Copper podcast and wrap it up with Joaquin. So we'll be back in just a second.
Yeah.
Honey.
Yes.
What's that creepy ghost thing following you?
Oh, that's my haunted memento.
I don't like it. It's looking at me.
Haunted Memento, your little creepy black ghost buddy. Available now at the auction house, if you're lucky, for a ridiculous price, because it's not available in the game anymore, and it was only available during the Undead Invasion before the Wrath of Lich King, so don't even ask, because you're not going to be able to get it, because it's not in the game anymore, but you're just going to have to spend a lot of money. Just spend money, okay? Just buy it at the auction house. Give me some money.
Hello, welcome back to the Power Word Gold podcast. This is Flux with Joaquin.
Hi.
And I swear every time I say your name, it's changed a little bit. We're just going to be wrapping up. This is our last segment. We're going to be wrapping up talking about the Just My Two Copper meeting for this last week and maybe a little bit about what we think's coming in the future and anything else. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Just My Two Copper meeting for this last week. It was actually quite a bit more laid back than the previous weeks where we had a couple differences of opinion between a couple of the other people. That's one of the things you're going to get when you have a podcast with eight guests on it is you're going to, it's not technically a podcast. It's more of a recorded discussion.
Yeah. I think you should argue, but you shouldn't argue with each other, but about the topic.
Yeah. I think that having somebody that's able to help guide the discussion and having a few topics ahead of time would probably be a good improvement to the Just My Two Copper meetings and maybe have half of the time based on gold making people talking about specific topics and then opening it up to questions. But it's still good that they have those meetings because even if it's a little scattered here or there or might go over the same topics, it's still about the biggest thing going as far as podcasts go, and it's on a regular basis. And it's the only one that I know of that allows anybody to come in and ask questions, which is a pretty big or a pretty nice service for the community.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about what's going to be happening. I'm going to talk about what I'm going to be planning on doing this week. In gold making, I made my first sales on Project Goblin this week. I was pretty stoked. I put a tweet out about this, but my Goblin is level 14 now, and he just pulled in his first sales from the auction house, and he's at 210 gold, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
He actually got a recipe drop for Elixir of Minor Agility that sold for 85 golds from one of those little dirty night elves that's sneaking around the top by Orgrimmar Gates. And so I have a lot of fun on him as a rogue because I can sneak around. Of course, I got BOA everything, helmet, chest, shoulders, enchanted with plus 15 agility, daggers, and everything. But it's still fun. The other thing that somebody brought up was the possibility that there's a new achievement that's going to be coming out called Right as Rain, I think it is. I don't remember which blog brought it up, but essentially there's going to be an achievement where you have to eat 91 stacks of these. You have to get 91 stacks of chocolate chip cookie buff in order to get this achievement. And the cookies take flour and cocoa beans. And I actually sold my cocoa beans for anybody that's low level, that's just getting started in the Horde side or the Alliance side. You can take your token and go buy do the daily cooking quest and go take the token and buy the cooking supplies bag. And I got cocoa beans out of that.
Can you link me that? Because I haven't heard about that.
Oh, sure. I'm trying to find it. You're talking about the Right as Rain? Or the cocoa beans?
The cocoa beans. Link for the item.
Sure. Let's see here. Beans. So you know about the daily cooking quest, correct?
Yeah. Myself, I don't have cooking, but my friend, who I think he gets his game time tomorrow, so
uh-huh.
I can do more profit daily.
Yeah. I can. So basically, at any low level in Orgrimmar or in Stormwind, you're able to do a cooking quest, and the cooking quest usually doesn't involve cooking. It involves sometimes going and gathering something. But you can do that at any level, and you get a token for cooking from that. And that token, you can buy this imported supplies, which costs one vendor token. You can open that up, and then you can sell the cooking items on the auction house. It looks like it always drops cocoa beans, so check the price for that. There's also another one that's like for she also sells for, I think it's for some of those cooking recipes. You can buy some other items from them for meat. There's like a meat box that they sell, Crate of Tasty Meat.
This is kind of off topic, but just got this feeling that because I found some Adder's tongue for 10 gold a stack, you know, the herb from Northrend.
Uh-huh.
40 stacks for 10 gold per stack. What do you think about selling these Northrend Darkmoon decks? I think that would be pretty good because people want to get the insane title, and then they will be buying a lot.
You're talking about buying the Northrend decks, like the old ones from Lich King?
No, I'm talking about making them. If you get
selling them, buying them to get the rep.
Yeah. I think somebody who wants the title doesn't really care how much they cost.
I would say have a couple of them and start, but be ready to make more and start advertising around Dark Moon Fair to see if there's people that want to do turn-ins and how much they're willing to pay for them. I sold some for 50 gold a piece. Sold the rep for them for 50 gold a piece. But you also get rep for doing things like, but I'm sure it's not as much for turning in rough grinding stones and stuff. The thing you might think about doing is hanging out. Well, no, I guess you'd advertise in the city and then you'd go out to them and do it. I've done it before and I've made some money, but it's been so long. I know Rubik's guy, I think is his name, from the Just Went to Copper meeting, said he had somebody that was willing to pay him like quite a bit of money, like 1,000 gold apiece, to turn in his Cataclysm decks. I could be getting the math wrong on that, but I mean, I would say that if you don't have better use for those herbs, I think, would be to make glyphs if you have the ability to make glyphs, or even making Ink of the Sea and selling them, because I know Ink of the Sea is the one that makes a lot of the more expensive glyphs. But I mean, I would say give it a go. I
I think I could try first selling the green ink and the normal ink, which comes from this.
Yeah.
Because these herbs didn't cost anything. 10 gold yeah. per stack, and I got 85 stacks for 10 gold a stack. Now I got cold clover, 45 stacks, and adder's tongue for 10 gold a stack, for, and I got 40 stacks. Mm-hmm. I could do those inks and sell them for around 7 gold or something. So
yeah,
people don't want to, you know, buy Blackfellow and turn it to some other ink, but they rather buy my inks because if they're making clips.
Yeah,
but I'm making a huge profit.
The way that Trade Skill Master works is it'll buy either the inks or the glyphs, or the herbs to mail to make inks. I buy them up as high as 5 or 6 gold in ink, because the profit margins on the glyphs are so high. And so, yeah, you could definitely, I would definitely try selling them as inks first, and then you can always make the always make the things later.
Do you know, there are so many people in a glyph market that I haven't touched it any other way but buying all the very cheap glyphs and posting them for higher amounts.
Yeah, I, you know how you said you get in markets and then you get money and you get out? I got so much money in the glyph market early on that there's just on my server, because it's always about the server, which is a trademark of a Power Word Gold and Joachim. No, it's really not worth my time and energy if I have an alternate way to make money that I enjoy more. I have been getting into it. I've been doing it like once a day, but 90% of my glyphs don't sell because I don't spend enough time doing it, because I guess it's just I've done it so long that it's really not something I'm interested in. But I know a lot of gold makers are making a lot of money off of that. And if you're able to push out the competition, or if you're able to dedicate more time and energy to posting, then definitely go and do that. One of the things I was going to mention about posting that I hadn't really thought about before, I actually just canceled my Remote Auction House subscription, and because I didn't find myself using my iPhone to post a lot. But then what I didn't really realize until about a day before or two before it got canceled was that if I'm doing a podcast, or not a podcast, but if I'm doing a post or something, instead of being in World of Warcraft, I could also always be on the World of Warcraft website, making posts and auctions there too, here and there, and checking prices. So I might... If you have the Remote Auction House, think about possibly doing that while you're doing other things.
I don't have iPhone. I cannot afford it.
But you can still post from the internet if it's available in the EU. But So you know, just always thinking up ways. The only thing I don't like about that is that I don't get the benefit of my add-ons for posting, I never take gold out using that because I don't get the benefit of recording how things get sold. One thing I'll talk about right here at the end, and then we'll wrap it up, is I actually play World of Warcraft on my iPad using a software on the iPad called Every Air, EVERYAIR. And if you're going to use this to play World of Warcraft, say like in your bed or on your couch or whatever, it takes a little getting used to. What I ended up doing was copying my directory of World of Warcraft and copying it into a new section of my hard drive, and actually setting up a whole different copy of World of Warcraft just for this, because it's at 1024x768. Screen resolution works best for that, and I ended up moving my add-ons around a lot because you use your thumbs to move around and you click, and it's pretty interesting. But I was able, after about an hour or so of messing with it, I was able to actually post auctions and everything while I was laying in my bed, which I don't know if that's a good thing or not, because if I can post auctions while I'm in the other room, maybe it's not good. I can do it all the time. But it's something interesting to think about. So is there anything you wanted to talk about while we're wrapping it up here, Joachim?
Well, I don't really want to take anything big anymore because I have to go sleep soon.
Yeah, what time is tomorrow. It right now in Finland?
It's almost 11.
Okay. Yeah, it's... It's almost 1 o'clock here, so 1 yeah. o'clock in the afternoon. So, all right, well, I'll go ahead and wrap it up then. Thank you for listening to the Power Word Gold podcast. Thank you, Joachim, for being a guest with us here.
No problem.
And we might have to have you on future episodes. I'm pretty excited I got somebody with an accent on my podcast. I don't know. I love people that are from around the world, and I love accents. So I'm glad you have one. Although if you had as good of ideas as you would, I would have you on no matter where you're from. So.
Yeah, well, I can be in every podcast if you wish.
Well, we'll have to see. Right now, I'm still getting the format set up, but we might end up having to do that. We'll talk about it maybe a little bit more in the future. So, all right. Thank you so much. Do you want to let's let everybody know how to get a hold of us. Joachim, do you want to talk about how people can get a hold of you?
I got my Twitter, and I think that's the best way to see what I'm doing and what crazy I've been selling. That's mostly what I'm using it for. So it's Joachim, and you can my Twitter, and I think
how
Flux,
do you spell that out?
Joachinee, and Flux will probably write it down in the post. He will post this
in the show notes. Yeah, and you can get a hold of me. Flux from the blog Power Word Gold. Again, we just got our new domain name. It's powerwordgold.net. And you can email me at powerwordgold@gmail.com. You can also get a hold of me on Twitter at powerwordgold. And we have a Facebook page. The URL is too long to say, but basically head over to Power Word Gold and scroll on the sidebar there, and you can find a link to the Facebook page. So get on there, like it on Facebook. I have 10 people that like it so far. I wouldn't mind having more. And the last way you can interact is to go to our Reddit community for WoW Gold Making, which is reddit.com/r/WoWGoldMaking. And that's it for this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next week.
Yep.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye.
See you.